We are moving to the book of Hosea for this afternoon. When the heart breaks. One day, a mother chanced by the nursery and noticed her husband standing in contemplation by the crib of his sleeping son. Silently, she watched him for a while, wondering what thoughts were going through his mind as he looked at his own flesh and blood asleep in the crib. Oh. At last, she slipped into the room and put her hand through his and asked, "What are you thinking of, dear?" He came to with a start. "Oh, I was just wondering how in the world they can make a crib like this for $24.95. So much for the heart of a true father. What about the heart of Hosea? We shall soon learn that his heart was broken. An old proverb says, marriage is bliss. This may or may not be so. Many factors enter into making marriage a happy one. As we start our study of the minor prophets, we begin with Hosea, a prophet who did not have a happy marriage. Roman numeral 1. Introduction to Hosea. Introduction to Hosea. Though Hosea is the first minor prophet in the arrangement in our Bibles, he was not the first minor prophet to write a book of scripture. Obadiah and Joel may have written about 80 years earlier than Hosea. Also, Jonah wrote about 20 years before Hosea. Letter A, the man. The man. Our knowledge of Hosea comes exclusively from his prophecy. However, it contains much helpful biographical material. Number one, his name. His name. Hosea's name comes from the same root word as the Old Testament name Joshua and the New Testament name Jesus. Hosea means Jehovah saves or Jehovah delivers. Many Old Testament characters' names had significance. What would you expect to find in a book written by someone named Jehovah Saves? The seriousness of sin and God's work on behalf of man to restore him to himself. Number two, his background. His background. A 10-year-old boy was listening to his brother as he read about Handel's background. Handel was half German, half Italian, and half English. The 10-year-old exclaimed, "Wow, that's three quarters." No man's math seems too strong with this one. Handel's background. What about Hosea's background? Hosea was the son of Beeri. Nothing else is known of Hosea's ancestors. His home is not mentioned, but he did refer directly or indirectly to many places in the northern kingdom of Israel. Therefore, we assume he was from the northern kingdom. Hosea may have grown up in a rural area, for his writing contains many allusions to farm life and the garden. As a boy, Hosea may have known Amos. Isaiah was also a contemporary, and Hosea was still prophesying when Micah came on the scene. Number three, his times. His times. In the opening verse of his book, Hosea dated his ministry according to both the kings of the northern kingdom of Israel and the southern kingdom of Judah. Hosea chapter 1 verse 1 reads, "The word of the Lord that came unto Hosea, the son of Beeri, in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah, and in the days of Jeroboam, the son of Joash, king of Israel." This is a timeline of the kings of Israel and Judah, also found in your notes. Hosea began his ministry toward the end of the reign of Jeroboam II of Israel, who ruled from 793 BC to 753 BC, and while Uzziah, who ruled from 792 BC to 740 BC, was king of Judah. He continued his ministry to the reigns of Jotham and Ahaz. He completed it in the days of King Hezekiah, who reigned from 729 BC to 686 BC. The total years of his ministry were perhaps 40 to 45 years. We may date his ministry from around 760 BC to shortly after 715 BC, the year Hezekiah began to reign. Hosea began his ministry at the end of the Golden Age under Jeroboam II. It was a time when the borders of the nation were enlarged and Israel's economy prospered. Assyria had been declining in the west, which allowed Israel and Judah to expand. Israel spiraled downward, further downward spiritually after the death of Jeroboam II. The last six kings of Israel made up the darkest period of Israel's history, spiritually speaking. Murder was rampant, including in the palace. Four of Israel's last six kings were assassinated, while the other two took control of the throne by assassination. The corruption, starting with the throne room, eventually led to the demise of the nation. Assyria became dominant again, and before Hosea ended his ministry, the empire took the thoroughly immoral northern kingdom of Israel into captivity. Letter B, his message. His message. The ensign approached the captain of the ship as the captain was dining with his leading officers. The ensign reported that the captain had received a message from the admiral. The captain told the ensign to read the message aloud. The ensign did as he was told and read, "You idiot! It looks like you have bungled another mission. You're a poor excuse for captain." The captain paused for a moment and responded, "Ensign, have that message decoded immediately." What about Hosea's message? Hosea's book is composed of carefully collected segments of messages he preached during his long 40 plus years of ministry. Three common themes run through them: sin, judgment, and deliverance. This deliverance is based on God's love for Israel. How would you expect Israel to receive Hosea's message of sin and judgment when Israel was prospering under Jeroboam II? Israel would have ignored Hosea and saw his ministry as irrelevant and bothersome. Why would that message be particularly hard to deliver? The wicked have a hard time understanding their need for deliverance from sin when their lives are going well. Not only do we have the introduction to Hosea, we have Roman numeral 2, Hosea's marriage and family. Hosea's marriage and family. first chapter of Hosea deals with the marriage and family of the prophet. They are a message by way of illustration. Letter A, his wife. His wife. A church group traveled to Turkey to visit the sites of the seven churches of Revelation. As their bus went down a dusty road, they noticed up ahead a man riding a camel. The group stopped their bus to take a picture. It was only after they stopped that they noticed that behind the rider and the camel was his wife walking along. With the help of their interpreter, they asked the man, "Why are you riding while your wife walks?" "It is simple," he replied. "She doesn't own a camel." By the way, that is the problem with many in the local church. We say, "What's mine is mine." Too bad about the other guy. That's his problem. The wife doesn't own a camel. What about Hosea's wife? Hosea chapter 1 verses 2 to 3a reads, "The beginning of the word of the Lord by Hosea. And the Lord said to Hosea, Go, take unto thee a wife of whoredoms and children of whoredoms, for the land hath committed great whoredom, departing from the Lord. So he went and took Gomer, the daughter of Diblaim." In Hosea chapter 1 verse 2, the Lord commanded the prophet to marry a wife. This verse has caused much discussion among Bible teachers. Again, Hosea chapter 1 verse 2 says, "The beginning of the word of the Lord by Hosea. And the Lord said to Hosea, Go, take unto thee a wife of whoredoms and children of whoredoms, for the land hath committed great whoredom, departing from the Lord." Why would this verse cause discussion among Bible teachers? God apparently asked Hosea to take a wife of whoredom, that is harlotry. The problem is the description of a wife of whoredoms. It seems out of character for God to command marrying a prostitute. What would be a natural reaction to a command to marry a woman who become unfaithful? The natural reaction is to refuse to marry a wife who would be physically unfaithful. One suggested solution to the problem is to take account of Hosea's wife to be simply a dream, a vision, or a parable. However, there's nothing in the book to suggest that it was a dream or a vision. Hosea and Gomer were really married. Those who hold that it was an actual marriage are again divided. Some say that Gomer was guilty of spiritual adultery as an idol worshipper. Others say that Gomer was pure when God told Hosea to marry her, but later she became unfaithful. The last seems like the best view. Because Gomer is used in the book as an illustration of Israel. Israel at first served the Lord, and then she became unfaithful and began worshipping the Canaanite gods and other gods. Now, Hosea chapter 1 verse 3a says, "So he went and took Gomer, the daughter of Diblaim." What do we learn from this verse about Hosea's relationship to God? Hosea took his relationship to God seriously. He faithfully obeyed God even when his command made no sense. Letter B, his children. His children. A typical father is reading the paper and sharing that which he reads with his son. He is telling his son about the lack of attention and low educational achievements of children today. They are lazy, have little concentration, and barely any listening skills at all. The father asks his son for his reaction to this study. The son half-heartedly lifts his head. "What was that again, Dad?" What about Hosea's children? Hosea and his wife had three children. Each child's name is significant. What does your name mean? Have you lived out the meaning of your name? God used the names of Hosea's children to illustrate his relationship with Israel. From them, we learn more of his judgment on sin, as well as his gracious deliverance. Number one, Jezreel. Jezreel. Hosea chapter 1 verses 3 to 5 reads, "So he went and took Gomer, the daughter of Diblaim, which conceived and bare him a son. And the Lord said unto him, Call his name Jezreel, for yet a little while, and I will avenge the blood of Jezreel upon the house of Jehu, and will cause to seize the kingdom of the house of Israel. And it shall come to pass at that day that I will break the bow of Israel in the valley of Jezreel." The Lord himself chose the name for Hosea's firstborn, a son. What explanation did God give for the name of Hosea's first son? "God will avenge the bloodshed of Jezreel on the house of Jehu and bring an end to his dynasty." Let me explain. The name Jezreel means God sows or God scatters. Jezreel is the name of the plain between the mountains of Samaria and Galilee. It is also the name of a town on that plain. The name Jezreel reminds us of wicked King Ahab. He had a palace in Jezreel. Next to the palace was the vineyard of Naboth. Ahab wanted the vineyard, but Naboth would not sell it. So Jezebel, Ahab's wife, had Naboth murdered. Then God pronounced doom on Ahab's family. This doom was to take place in Jezreel. Jehu carried out the judgment by destroying the line of Ahab and becoming king himself. However, he killed many people and did not serve the Lord. So God pronounced doom on Jehu's line through Hosea. Jeroboam II, the king of Israel, when Hosea began his ministry, was of the line of Jehu. He would be the last of the line to live out his life. His son was assassinated soon after taking the throne. 2 Kings chapter 15, verses 8 to 12. This judgment is clearly stated by God in Hosea chapter 1, verse 4, "For yet a little while, and I will avenge the blood of Jezreel upon the house of Jehu, and will cause to cease the kingdom of the house of Israel." Number two, Lo Ruhama. Lo Ruhama. Hosea chapter 1 verses 6 to 7 reads, "And she conceived again and bare a daughter. And God said unto him, Call her name Lo Ruhama, for I will no more have mercy upon the house of Israel, but I will utterly take them away. But I will have mercy upon the house of Judah, and will save them by the Lord their God, and will not save them by bow, nor by sword, nor by battle, by horses, nor by horsemen." The second child that Gomer bore to Hosea was a daughter. God instructed Hosea to name her Lo-Ruhamah. Lo-Ruhamah means not pitied, uncompassionate, or not cared for. What explanation did God give for the name of Hosea's daughter? God will no longer have mercy on the house of Israel. How would you like to have a name that meant not cared for? But the child was real, and this was her real name. But it also was a symbolic name. It was a prediction of the downfall of Israel. God said in Hosea chapter 1 verse 6, "For I will no more have mercy upon the house of Israel, but I will utterly take them away." When God withdrew His mercy and protection of Israel, the nation fell to Assyria. Number 3, Lo-Ammi. Lo-Ammi. Hosea chapter 1 verses 8 to 9 reads, "Now when she had weaned Lo-Ruhamah, she conceived and bare a son. Then said God, call his name Lo-Ammi, for ye are not my people, and I will not be your God." After Lo-Ruhamah was weaned, Gomer presented Hosea with a second son. In obedience to the Lord's command, Hosea called his name Lo-Ammi, which means not my people. What explanation did God give for the name of Hosea's second son? God told Israel that they would not be his people and that he would not be their God. Because of Israel's sin, God no longer considered the nation to be his people. The Abrahamic covenant is unconditional, and God will never break it. But Israel's sin had nullified the blessings that could have been for the people of that day. By the way, how might you respond to having children with such depressing names? Imagine yourself telling other people, "Hi, my children are Lo-Ruhamah and Lo-Ammi. Hi, my children are not cared for and not my people." Nevertheless, blessings would come from such a situation. The names of Hosea's children would be a constant reminder of God's faithfulness and His demand that His people be faithful to Him. Hosea's relationship with God no doubt was strengthened as he pondered his children's names. Let us see the symbolism reversed. Hosea chapter 1 verse 10 to chapter 2 verse 1 reads, "Yet the number of the children of Israel shall be as the sand of the sea, which cannot be measured nor numbered. And it shall come to pass that in the place where it was said unto them, ye are not my people, there it shall be said unto them, ye are the sons of the living God. Then shall the children of Judah and the children of Israel be gathered together and appoint themselves one head. And they shall come up out of the land, for great shall be the day of Jezreel. Say ye unto your brethren, Ammi, and to your sisters, Ruhamah." With a marked shift in tone, Hosea stopped talking about the demise of Israel and predicted the restoration of Israel and Judah. He spoke of a great increase in population. God incorporated the names of Hosea's children in his prophecy through Hosea. Instead of being not God's people, Lo-Ammi, they would now be the sons of the living God. Hosea chapter 1 verse 10. This prophecy will be fulfilled after the tribulation. The northern kingdom of Israel and the southern kingdom of Judah will be united once more. Hosea chapter 1 verse 11. "Those who are scattered will be sown in the land, Jezreel. They will then be army, my people, and Ruhema cared for. The introduction to Hosea and Hosea's marriage and family. 3 children were born to Hosea and his wife. Would you not expect the wife to be faithfully committed to her husband henceforth? Sorry to say, no. She became unfaithful. This is a picture of Israel who goes a whoring after other gods time and time again, oblivious of her Redeemer. Worshipping other gods is spiritual adultery. And take note, whatever a person holds dear, whatever he devotes his time, energy, and money to, becomes his God. Just as Hosea was brokenhearted, God was brokenhearted. What are some ways we can guard against spiritual adultery and devote ourselves totally? What can you do to become more faithful to God this week? One other point. As mentioned earlier, Hosea prophesied to the northern kingdom. From this tumultuous, sad life, living with adulterous life, he is called the broken-hearted prophet of the northern kingdom, as Jeremiah is called the weeping prophet of the southern kingdom. While Hosea was a faithful husband, even to an unfaithful wife in Israel, there were many, many religious leaders who were the reverse. Malachi chapter 2, verses 12 to 14. Every minister of God must take care how he lives, not to self and sinful pleasure, but to God and to his glory. In closing, let us all rise to sing, "May the Lord find us faithful." God has not given us the spirit of fear, but has given us the strength to obey. With power and sound mind, we love the unfailing kind, or be not ashamed of his way.